Hello, everybody.
Hello.
This is for
hey,
real.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
Hello, hello, hello.
How's everybody feeling today?
Wonderful.
Good.
Wonderful, okay. Any other adjectives?
Good.
Okay, when people ask you that question from now on, I want you to answer with the word better. I'm telling you, it will change your conversations. When people ask you, how are you feeling, I just want you to say better. And then we're going to talk down the road about the reactions you get, but they're all going to be good. You're going to like it. So let's try it again. How's everybody doing today?
Better.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, I had you do a little bit of an exercise, and I don't know if you guys try to read into it, but really there's no hidden agenda there. We're just really looking at where you are on what is called the life cycle of business. And in a few weeks, I'm going to walk you through the life cycle of business as developed by Dr. Adesis. And you will then come to understand why it's vital that you move toward the condition he refers to as prime. The condition called prime. Okay, so our language is going to develop. You're going to find that we use certain terminologies here that will just become common language among the group. And that's one of them. The question becomes, are you in prime? And by the end of this program, we want everybody to be able to say yes, and not because you're lying, because you really change things around. So if prime is the stage where everything is going well, where your profitability is strong, and where you have genuine passion for what you do, where you really love going to work every day, where you really get excited about telling people what you do for a living, that's a really good place to be. Where you still hold on to or you return to that contagious enthusiasm that drove you to do what you do in the first place. And where the market recognizes you, where people look at you, and it doesn't mean you're famous, although you may be, but where people look at you and they recognize you as a true professional exactly as you intend to be recognized. That would be the condition of prime. So when I asked you to rate yourself, I asked you to rate yourself on a scale of 1 through 9, and if we think of it as sort of a clock, 5 would be the 12. The top of the clock would be 5. That would be prime. So you move toward prime when you develop a business, but then the risk is you can move past it. And when you start to move past prime in the beginning stages, you don't realize that things are going badly. It feels like they're going well. And the step after prime is called stability. Now, that's a word that we sort of like, right? If somebody said, do you want stability in your life? You'd go, yeah. But stability is not a good place for your business to be because it's actually the beginning of the decline. So we will speak about that at a much greater level, but I think it's important that initially now you just get an awareness of where you are. And if you're at a 2, okay, you know that you're heading up toward that 5. That's where you want to go. If you're at a 6 or a 7, and I don't think many of you were above 5, then it means you got to put the brakes on and reexamine some things.
Phil, can I ask you a question on that?
Sure.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I misinterpreted, but I was assuming that like 5 is your prime, and anything above a 5 means you were kind of where you were, but that is a decline. But can you go from a 5 back down to the lower number? Because I was kind of confused. I put a 7 in the sense that, you know, going back X amount of years, you know, I was satisfied with where I was at the time. I've made some changes, did some things, and kind of made some bad decisions, which kind of brought me into a bad situation. So things are on, like, a major decline. So I put a 7, kind of assuming that, you know, I was kind of there. I lost it all, in a sense. And so I'm not sure exactly where I'd be on that scale.
Well, okay, if you think back to when you were in prime, was there a point that you felt that you were in prime, but now you look back at it and you say, I was really in stability? And stability means you're paying the bills, you feel like things are going, you don't really worry about too much, there aren't a whole lot of fires to put out, but a little bit at a time, that energy, that frenetic energy that came out of chaos starts to decline.
Yeah,
and one of the problems with stability, one of the problems with that point in your progression is although you feel like you're stable, your competitors are moving toward prime. So you're not stable. Relative to the business marketplace, you're going down. So was there a time that you think back now and you go, yeah, I was actually in that stability phase, I just didn't realize it?
I mean, going by your definition, honestly, I could never say I was in prime. I would say I hit comfortable levels of stability.
Okay. Well, you have to move past prime to get to stability. So we'll get more into that when we get through the life cycle. But for now, what I want you to understand is the state that you want to be in every day is a state where your business is working and you feel good about it. And by the way, you don't stop when you're in prime. You just create a higher level of what prime means. You just get better and better and better and better. But you never want to move past prime into one of those dangerous states. Okay? So, you know, if you don't fully grasp the entirety of it, it doesn't matter now. If you're not sure of the number you picked, if that was right, there's no right or wrong. But I just wanted to introduce the concept so when we get to it down the road, you'll have reference for it. So just develop a kind of, you know, in the back of your mind awareness of if you're moving toward prime, and of course everybody wants to be. But right now, knowing that we're going to consider this moment a starting point. Starting point of, let's consider it a short-term journey. And the journey is going from where you are now to a state of interdependence. That's a really good word. It's a really important word. Interdependence. It's not independence. It's interdependence. Can anybody take a shot at what that means? Does anybody have an awareness of what that means? You just want to take a guess based on the word itself and what we've been talking about?
I mean, it sounds like a whole bunch of, how can I say, whether it's people, departments, anything, all dependent on each other, not one dominant, not one, you know, submissive, but, you know, everything is dependent on everything for success.
Correct. And not only depending on, but creating higher levels of, where all the pieces come together to form a greater whole. So let's consider where you are now as a starting point toward that. That's where you want to be. Every single one of you. I don't want you to overthink it now, going, well, that means I have to have employees. That means I have to have a lot of things. I just want you to recognize that you're beginning a journey, and where you want to get to is a place of interdependence. A situation where you have other people connected to your mission, whether or not they're employees, but they're connected to your mission. They're connected to your practice. They're connected to your presence. They're connected to your revenue generation. And everyone works not only as they're supposed to work, but they work to make every other element of the organization better. Okay, so we will get into the life cycle of business on a future call. But right now, I want to simplify it and break it down to the three stages of business growth. And every business that grows starts in this very first stage. The first stage, which will be familiar to most of you when I say it, is the stage we refer to as chaos. Every single business begins in chaos. Now, I know that doesn't sound exciting right now until you recognize what it means. Chaos is where your business is driven purely by desire and action. And there is a frenetic energy that isn't rational. It's just sort of an excitement that moves things forward. And things don't happen the way they're supposed to. You might have created a perfect business plan. The problem is the rest of the world didn't know your plan. So things don't move as you hoped they would or as you planned they would, but because you have that frenetic energy, you're able to deal with it. You're able to put out fires. Chaos. It's really exciting to be in chaos. It's fun. You laugh a lot when you're in the chaos phase. You roll your eyes. You realize how ridiculous some things were, or how funny it is the way some things turned out. And if you have a team, you really connect with that team at a high level because you're dealing with disasters and you manage to muddle through. It is the most emotionally charged time in a business, and it is a necessary step toward growth. Can anybody either acknowledge that you're in chaos now and tell me why you say that, or think back to an incident that you would say this happened in the chaos phase of my business? Can anybody do that? If you're in chaos now, tell me why you said that. And if you were in chaos, as every business owner was at one time, tell me about an incident that was kind of exciting during that chaos phase.
This is Sandy.
Hey, Sandy.
And currently I'm going in chaos right now because I've decided to take my practice in a whole different direction that I never thought was possible. So I'm learning a whole new set of skills and having to do a lot of work in the forefront that I did not anticipate. I did anticipate, but I didn't anticipate.
That sounds like schizophrenic. So wait, you did anticipate or you didn't anticipate? Got to be a little more specific. Got to land on one of those.
Well, I knew it would be a lot of work.
Okay.
Doing what I'm doing, but I didn't, I guess, recognize how much work was going to be needed in the beginning, if that makes sense.
Okay. So how does it feel? Is it overwhelming? Is it intimidating? Is there an element of excitement? Do you feel like you are conquering the minor disasters, or is it just kind of a mishmash of emotion and you're not quite sure where you land?
I would say all the above.
Okay. The problem with chaos, it is not sustainable. So I can fill up this whole call with stories of businesses I started going through the chaos stage, and I will have you on the floor laughing. Because insanity, pure insanity. But I fed off of it. I literally loved it. Maybe not in the moment that the disaster was happening, but certainly in the moment of handling it. It just felt good. It was just a sense of conquest and bonding, you know, especially when I had a staff working with me. But sooner or later, you have to get out of that state because it runs into, if your business had an adrenal system, it would be adrenal overload. You can't sustain it. So the second phase beyond chaos would be organization. Or we could give organization a different name. We can call it independence. Independence, meaning that every part of your business works independently. You no longer have to babysit. You no longer have to be the firefighter. Things are working. If you have a staff, if you have a front desk, they know exactly what they have to do. If you have an administrative team, they know exactly what they have to do. And it is organized. So now you have no longer chaos, but an organization. So that would be the second phase, independence. Every department or every single responsibility is handled. If you are, in fact, simply independent and you don't have any people working for you or with you, then in organization, your schedule is firm. Your patient schedule is firm. Your money management is habitual. You can predict most of the challenges that emerge, and you have a confidence that you're in control. So can anybody say right now they are in the organization phase?
Yes.
Who said yes?
It's Rick.
Can you describe anything about the shift from chaos to organization? Like, how did you know you got through that chaos and you're actually in this independent stage?
Well, I mean, the only thing that's kind of strange about my situation is I'm in the process right now of dissolving a partnership within my practice and going back to solo practitioner. So it's kind of strange. I'm in a very chaotic situation because of everything has to be done because the transition's taking place January 1st. So it's very chaotic, but it's a structured, organized chaos. And it's good when you talk about the organizational aspect of it, because just as you were talking about that, you know, I have my my office manager, I have my billing person, I have my marketing person. Each one of these people, just as you said, really knows what their job is. It's not like you'd say, I got to come in and see exactly what they're doing and you know, be micromanaging and checking. They know what needs to be done, and they're doing it. And it's amazing when you get that and how much is taken off my plate, you know, because when I first started, it was just me and a front desk person, you know, and then as the practice has grown, to put people into those positions that are basically really strong and efficient, it's amazing when you get to that organizational level how much it just takes the stress off of, you know, off of me.
So when you say amazing, that's a good kind of amazing. That's a really good word, right?
Yes.
So it sounds like organization would be perfect, but it's not. There is no perfection in this model. Your business will never reach perfection, and you don't want it to, because it doesn't exist. To strive for perfection is really just an exercise in futility, but you got to strive for prime. So what is wrong with organization? It gets boring. That's the truth. It gets boring. In the organization phase, the business leader, the business owner, the business driver, the business enthusiast tends to get complacent. So it is a good place to be because the business functions well. But when you're in the organization phase, you have to start looking toward the phase ahead. And this is where you want to be. You will go in one of two directions. When you're in the organization phase, you will go in one of two directions. You will either add some new chaos, which is not bad because the organization still exists. So you may take on something else. I mean, a classic example would be the conventional chiropractic office that decides to branch into functional nutrition but maintains the chiropractic practice. You go, okay, yeah, I've got that. Organization's running. I have people working for me. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Now I'm going to venture out. I'm going to start doing some talks. So you're keeping the organization, but you're bringing in some new chaos. And the beauty of that is suddenly you're passionate all over again. And you can afford to make the mistakes because the business is sustaining it. I said you can move out of organization one of two directions. That would be one. The other would be interdependence. And that would be where every part of your team, whether they're employees, contractors, JVs, any connection that you have with people who are connected with your business, that connection causes the business to thrive. It's not just that every task is handled. It's that every task fuels the next step in growth. Patients refer new patients. Your reach, your marketing, includes referrals that come in from strategic alliances that you've formed. You build your team with other people who can replicate your services and create greater revenues. And the people who work for you make you stronger and they make you more effective and they radically increase your reach. So if you're in chaos right now, if you're a 3 on the scale of the life cycle of business, knowing you want to get to a 5, or if you're in stability and you want to get back to a 5, this becomes important because you want to either get to that place where you have organization with some new intentionally added chaos or interdependence. You need those because they allow the business to be a living entity that grows. And something I've said to you before, and it bears repeating, and this is not the only time I'll repeat it, you cannot be your business. Your business should be the source of your prosperity. You cannot be your business. Your business should become the source of your prosperity. Because if you are your business, that too is not sustainable. Can you keep it going for 10, 15, 20 years? Probably, but at the expense of what? And for most people who try that, it's at the expense of many things. So in order to create a business that is separate from you, becomes a source of your prosperity, know that you have to grow through chaos into organization and then move forward to either bring in some new chaos intentionally without screwing up the organization you built or strive to get to interdependence because you've got to do something that keeps this business growing. Now, if you go, well, you know, I don't want to grow anymore. I'm happy with the way things are. That's fine. But you still need to move forward. You still need to think about tomorrow, next month, and the year ahead. And if you're doing it with blinders on and you're doing it without the passion that drove you in the first place, even though it feels like you're stable, I promise you're losing ground. And when you wind up in the later stages of the business cycle, aristocracy, a bureaucracy, or ultimately death, it's too late to recover. So if you have this awareness now, then you'll realize by holding on to this very simple model, if you're in chaos, move toward organization. If you're in organization, move toward some new intentionally brought in chaos without screwing up the organization or create interdependence. Any thoughts, comments, questions on anything I covered so far?
Yeah, Phil, this is Rick. Is it an either-or in those two directions, or can you add the chaos while bringing on interdependence?
You can add the chaos while making it interdependent, absolutely. Interdependence would be the growth of the organization. So if the organization is growing and allowing you to bring in more chaos, that's good. That's really good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so no, you don't have to choose one at the expense of the other. But the point I wanted to make was don't think organization is where you want to stay because that, too, is limiting.
Yeah, and okay. I can definitely see from the example you were talking about that in my previous, that's where I got comfortable just being in an organization and feeling that, you know, that It just gave me that false sense, and the passion didn't die with that.
And when I get into the life cycle of business, all of you will be able to connect it to something you've either experienced or witnessed, whether it's a company you worked for, a story you used to go to. Every business that dies goes through the same life cycle. So I think you'll find that interesting. And if they knew this ahead of time, in most cases, it could have been prevented. All right. So if every business is going to grow, and if everybody here is going to prosper, and if everybody here is going to achieve what it is that they want, if it's really that simple as connecting to some mindset shifts and actions, why doesn't everyone get what they want? I've been asking you guys to think hard about what you want, and I know how difficult it is. I do. It's difficult for everyone who goes through this program for a number of reasons. It gets easier. I promise it gets easier. But once you identify what you want, what can prevent you from getting it? If you have the clarity of thought and you're willing to take the actions, what can possibly prevent you from getting it? If you say, I want to get to the other side of the room, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, you're going to get there. One foot, then the other foot, then the other foot, then the other foot, then the other foot. So why isn't achieving an outcome just like that? You say, that's where I want to go. That's what I want. I'm going to take the action. I'm going to get there. There are six reasons. Six reasons. One is an underactive PFC. The prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain slash mind that creates possibility. If your PFC is weak, if your PFC is not cultivated, if you don't train it like you would train a muscle, then you cannot hold on to the vision and get your brain to accept it as reality. When your PFC is developed, what you want is simply an outcome that hasn't happened yet. When the PFC is driving electrical impulse through that part of the brain, you look at the outcome you choose and you know with certainty it's going to happen. If your PFC is not strong enough to hold on to that, then you'll take a few steps across the room and you'll stop. Because your brain cannot accept the possibility of you getting to the other side. So that's one reason. We also know that's workable. You got to work on that PFC. If something in your head says you can't, then you have to realize your PFC needs to get stronger because it's being pulled by another of the six reasons, the EEM. An overly restrictive EEM will limit you. An overly restrictive EEM wants to keep you safe. As you're crossing the room, metaphorically, it says you've never been to that side of the room. What if it's dangerous over there? What if you suffer over there? What if there's nothing good and it's much worse than this side of the room? That's what the EM does. Now, it's really trying to protect you. It means well. But if your EEM is too strong, it will stop you. It will create something we know as fear, and it will stop you. So those are two reasons, both controllable. So what are the other four? The other four are monsters. They are monsters that are evil, mean, nasty. They are killers. They are dream crushers. They are the worst possible entity you can imagine. They are, in fact, monsters. So now, lest you think I'm losing it, I will explain who the monsters are. But I want you to accept that they are, in fact, monsters. And the first one is the monster we call procrastination. Has anybody ever met that one? Procrastination.
That is my middle name.
You got to go for a name change. You've got to kill that monster. Now, I want you to think of these monsters as actual monsters that live under your feet. And they cannot hurt you in any way, shape, or form as long as they stay under the ground. But as you walk, they follow you. And their whole goal in life is to come out through the ground and get a hold of you and screw up your future. That's all they want to do, screw up your future. That's their goal. So if you can keep them contained, they never affect you. But if you can't, they're going to get you, and they're going to hurt you. And procrastination can hurt you. And the worst part about these monsters is they pretend to be your friend. They do a good job. So procrastination comes over, comes through the ground, and starts to walk beside you. And it goes, you know what? You know that thing you're about to do? Yeah, I could do it later. You don't have to do it now. And you just kind of stop. I'm walking across the room, going to the other side, which was my goal, and suddenly procrastination goes, yeah, you can go there later. There are things that you know you need to do. Your rational mind knows you need to do them. Procrastination, make sure you wait till the last minute to get your taxes done. That's not such a bad thing because you have the deadline and it's strong enough. You know there's going to be a penalty. So your EEM befriends you. It goes, if you don't do it, then it's going to hurt. But when it comes to the things that are uncertain, procrastination becomes really strong. So if you go out, hey, I got to talk to 5 people a day, because if I talk to 5 people a day, that's 1,000 prospects. And with 1,000 prospects, I'm going to build my practice into a $2 million practice. So I'm going to go out right now and find 5 people. And procrastination goes, maybe later. That's it. It's your friend. It's going, don't rush. Maybe later. I mean, those 5 people will be there. And you know what? You can get 10 tomorrow. You see procrastination keep people fat, right? You see it. Right now, they're all waiting till New Year's. That's the procrastination monster. There's no reason those people have to wait till New Year's except the monster. They let it come through. It's holding them. It's going, stay right here. You say, no, you don't exercise now. No, you don't have to start a healthy diet now. You can do it New Year's. Has anybody run into that monster, other than somebody who may have it as their middle name? Is anybody really honest enough to say, that monster has really limited me? No? You all did your homework, like as soon as you got home from school? You all got reports done on time?
I'm a big procrastinator.
Yep.
You have to stop thinking about it that way. You have to think about it as you have a very strong monster. Don't label yourself. We do that. We do that. You know, if you have a runny nose and a cough and somebody goes, what's going on? How would you answer them? Somebody tell me. You got a runny nose, a cough, a little bit of a scratchy throat. Somebody goes, what's going on? What would you say?
I'm better.
Right. You would say that as of now. But what would you have said if it was yesterday?
I'd say I'm feeling like shit.
Why?
I'm just not feeling well. I'm just not feeling up to par. And, you know.
Well, what do you think is going on?
Body's just shutting down. I'm overstressed.
Okay. So what would you call this thing with the runny nose and the scratchy throat and the cough?
From a holistic standpoint, I call it adaptation.
What about from a regular American limited perception standpoint?
I'm sick.
Because I what?
I have a cold.
Say it again.
I have a cold.
No. Wouldn't you say I am a cold?
I wouldn't say I am a cold. I say I have.
Why wouldn't you say that?
Because that's not what I am.
Huh. So why do people say I am a diabetic, and why do they say I am hypothyroid? Why do they say that?
Because
any idea?
It becomes their identity.
Part of the proof.
Yeah, because that's what they're told, right? They're given a label. A moment in time, they're given a label. You are a diabetic, and then from that point on, I'm a diabetic. And what are the odds that they're going to change that condition? Slim, because they are it. So you don't say, I am a cold. You say, I have a cold, because you know it's going to pass. So if you say, I am a procrastinator, it's the same thing. You're giving yourself a label. It becomes an excuse. You go, well, yeah, I was going to get to it, but I'm a procrastinator. So think of it this way. You have a procrastination monster that's really becoming a pain in the ass. But I want you to realize you're not a procrastinator. You've been infected by the monster. Does that make sense? Monster number 2. Distraction. Distraction. Distraction has you sit down at your computer because you're going to review a patient's record, and you're sitting at home, and you know you have to do this, and suddenly you hear the TV from the other room, and apparently there's a new picture of one of the Kardashians' butt, and it's the biggest thing anybody's ever seen, and you go, oh, I need to go take a look at that. You leave your office, and now all of a sudden you're looking at the Kardashians. The only reason the Kardashians exist is because the distraction monster created them. There is no virtue ever to watching a reality show with the Kardashians. There's none. So the Kardashians, they happen to love the distraction monster. The distraction monster has you sit down at your computer to do something important, and you just listen to that monster for 1 minute, because all it says is, check your email. That's it. Just check your email. And they go, oh, I better check my email. And now somebody sent you a joke. And you read the joke and you decide you need to forward this to your friends. And then there's an email that really makes you upset. Somebody who you thought was very happy with your stuff is unhappy. And now you're emotionally upset. And then you read the next email, and you happen to notice all of the misspellings. And then you get another email that you've won $20 million is coming to you from the sheik in Nigeria. And all of a sudden, 30 minutes have passed, and now you decide that you need to have a Facebook discussion with somebody. Distraction monster. You come into your office in the morning with a plan. Somebody who works with you sits down next to you and goes, you're not going to believe what happened to me last night. And you go, what? That's the distraction monster. Distraction monster is loving this. The distraction monster also pretends to be your friend. It goes, wait, don't do that important thing now. Come here. Come here. You got to see this. Come here. You got to check this out. The distraction monster and procrastination monster can team up to crush every single one of your dreams. So from now on, I want you to recognize that distraction monster, because you don't see him. He's under the ground, and he comes up, and he's just kind of invisible. But he's right there. I want you to realize in those moments that it's not me. It's not a flaw in me. It's not that I can't achieve my goal. It's that this distraction monster is screwing up my life, and I need to defeat him. The third of the four monsters is negative talk. Negative talk. Negative talk can be negative self-talk. It can be the conversations that take place in your head. It can feature words like but and can't. But negative talk can come from outside of you too. The negative talk monster can find its way into your head, or it can also find its way outside of your ears. And other people may say to you, you can't do that. What, are you crazy? That's a negative talk monster. You've seen it when you sat down with a patient and you knew you could help them, or a client, for those of you who are fitness professionals, personal trainers. You knew you could help them. And in the moment, they seemed to know that you could help them. But some little voice in their head goes, you've tried everything. This won't work. You have that same monster. That it's your own personal monster. So you're witnessing it in other people. Sometimes somebody you talk to goes home to their spouse and says, hey, I need to invest. I'm going to get well. I'm really excited because 6 months from now, I'm going to be back to normal. I'm going to have my energy back. And the spouse says, what, another scam? That's not the spouse. That's the negative talk monster. And the negative talk monster is infectious because if it comes from the outside, it moves to the inside. Somebody says it, and now it is permanently locked into your head. It moves into your hippocampus. It becomes a memory. You'll never be healthy. If somebody says that to you, it happened in a moment, but the negative talk monster makes sure that stays in your head. It can become a belief. A belief is very simply a cyclical thought set in motion. That's what a belief is, a thought that cycles. And when negative talk gets you, it creates worry. It creates those cyclical thoughts. Let me not ask about you. Let me ask about anyone you know. Can anybody tell me about someone they know who was affected or infected by the negative talk monster? Come on, you got to have at least one patient, friend, relative who you knew that they should do what they're supposed to do, but they were shut down by negative talk.
Phil.
Yes.
Yeah, I've had probably 4 or 5 patients the last couple of weeks that have been doing that.
Give me one. Give me a first name and tell me exactly what happened.
It'd be Ardith. She's been having back pain for the last 20 years. And she's just accepted the fact that she's never going to get better.
Does that hurt you to see that?
I think it's frustrating as hell because, you know, they can say that, yeah, I want to get better. Well, no, you don't. You just told me you're never going to get better.
So can you understand why I'm telling you it's the fault of the monster? It's not the person. It's not the person's inability to achieve. It is the negative talk monster keeping them from getting what they want. And I'm making you a promise, as successful as you are, as strong as you are, as motivated as you are, as progressive as you are, you have these monsters. We all have these monsters. It's not a question of killing them. We cannot kill them. They are not killable. We simply learn to manage them. And if that patient could manage that negative talk monster and literally just tell it to shut up, only then could another voice come in. Because as long as she holds that belief, I'll never get well, as long as she holds that belief, nothing else can penetrate. So the only way to allow her PFC, her prefrontal cortex, to accept a new possibility is to get that negative talk to shut up. And here's the fourth. The fourth is an interesting one because it's real. It's as real as the other three. But one of the things that it does is when it's affecting you, it convinces you that it doesn't exist. The others you're willing to accept. You're going, yeah, procrastination, seen that monster. Distraction, yep, seen that monster. Negative talk, certainly seen that monster. But the next one, if it's affecting you right now, you won't believe me. So know that. It is called money worry. Money worry. Money worry will cripple you financially and crush your dreams. I mentioned that a belief is a cyclical thought set in motion. A thought of dread or woe becomes worry when it becomes a cyclical thought set in motion. So when it starts with, oh no, or my life sucks because, when that starts to cycle, it creates worry. What if I can't pay the rent? What if she doesn't show up for work? What if I can't afford it? What if I can't make my car payment? What if I can't pay off the lease? What if I can't handle the loan? That's worry. And when it is worry about money, it ensures that you will have lack. Now, I'm telling you, it's hard to believe this exists if you're in it now. Because if you're going, yep, that's me, but Phil doesn't understand. It's not a monster. It's my circumstance. It's what happened to me. It's the people around me. I was ripped off. I was scammed. I was lied to. I was misled. I'm not telling you that you can go back in time and undo those things. What I am telling you is you can control the monster that is making you worry about it. And as long as you allow that monster to communicate with you, it will prevent you from getting back on your feet or achieving the financial abundance you deserve. We move toward what we think about. If you think about your lack, you're going to move toward greater lack. If you're in a hole and you're looking at the bottom of the hole and you go, let me dig my way out, you're digging a deeper hole. Oh no, what if this next shovel of dirt doesn't get me where I want it? Oh no, what if I don't have the strength for the next one? Oh no. I'm not saying that when you stop worrying, your financial challenges go away. I'm just saying the worry about it makes it worse. So if you're in that now, even though that monster wants to say to you, don't listen to Phil, he's full of it, I'm telling you, I'm your friend and the monster's a monster. Now, how do you just stop worrying? How do you just stop worrying? Well, all of these monsters can be defeated. And as I said, they can't be killed, but they can be defeated in the moment. And the more you defeat them, the weaker they become. So that's where you want to get to. You want to have really weak monsters. Every once in a while, they show up and you laugh. You go, yeah, you did distract me for a minute. I did want to see that picture of Britney Spears in the magazine, but really, it's not important. I'm moving on. You need the heroes. That's who saves you from the monsters, four heroes. There are four. And it really is perfect because when you connect with these heroes, the monsters can't harm you. All you have to do is get good at identifying them. You don't have to blame anymore. You don't have to find reasons why you missed on a previous goal. You don't have to. You just have to move monsters out of the way. And then clarity of vision and action will get you there 100% of the time. Not some of the time, all of the time. So you've got to meet the four heroes. And the first hero is focus. If it is not innate for you at this point, it's a hard one to connect with, but you must. You must learn to focus because it protects you from distraction. Focus means you give something your attention. You take your attention and insulate it. You focus on the thing you need to do most. It's going to be a different thing for all of you. But if you're going to move out of chaos, beyond organization, and move toward interdependence or a level of excellence, then you've got to connect with this hero called focus. You've got to start to focus on what it is you need to do and where it's going to get you. And the where it's going to get you brings in another hero. And we're going to call on that one today. That hero is clarity. Clarity. I want a new house. Oh, we can call that a goal. But it's a very weak goal. If you say, I want a four-bedroom house on a beautiful lake where I could go kayaking, I want four bedrooms. One of them I want to have a master suite where I'm going to put my piano so I can get out of bed in the morning and play my piano. And I have a kitchen that faces west so we can get beautiful sunsets coming in. And I want to have a skylight facing east so we get the sun in the morning when it comes up. And the more clear you become, the more likely you are to achieve it, to get there, to find that house or create it. So clarity is a hero. And if you're not clear on what you want to get to, then procrastination can stop you because whatever it's asking you to avoid doesn't seem all that important. Focus and clarity. The next one is planning. Planning defeats money worry. Planning doesn't kill the money problem, but it kills the money worry because it connects with your PFC and creates a new future for you. And the future is free of worry. So you suddenly get out of that cyclical thinking and you go, here is my plan. I am going to take $100 a month and put it in one envelope that is called savings. I'm going to take $100 a month, put it in another envelope that is called student loan. I'm going to take another envelope. You develop some sort of plan. It doesn't have to be that simplistic. But when you develop a plan, whether it's earning more or spending less or allocating things differently, the worry goes away. But money worry doesn't want you to plan. It just wants you to worry. Oh, man, my minimum payment is $1,400. If I pay that, how am I going to pay my water bill? The water bill is only $32. I should pay that and pay less than my minimum payment. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? That's worry. It leaves you feeling empty, horrible, and helpless. Planning gives you power. And the last one is the one you probably like the least but may serve you well, and that is called discipline. We don't like discipline because it reminds us of sitting in school and a teacher going, you know, sit still. Pay attention. It reminds you of the military. Stand in a line. Salute. Turn to the right. Turn to the left. Discipline. But really what it means is taking control over your own power of will. If you know that if you have another drink, you're going to wake up with a hangover, it is discipline that will stop you. It is a hero. If you know that if you have that one beer, you're not going to be productive tomorrow, discipline will stop you. If you know that if you give a person your time and that person is toxic and a drain, you will regret it. So you are disciplined enough with that hero to say, I cannot talk to you now. And the more you start to connect with this hero discipline, the more you start to appreciate it. It becomes a massive hero. So these four heroes crush the monsters. Now, I know all of this is abstract, and you've never heard it presented this way before, but I'm promising you, we all use some visualization in our thought processing, some more than others. But by giving imagery to the monsters and the heroes, your brain gets good at moving the monsters out of the way. What you want to do is get these thoughts in your head so that when you are, in fact, in a procrastination state, you say, I see what's happening here. The monster got me. I need to call upon discipline, clarity, and focus. When you find yourself stuck in money worry, you have to say, there it is. That's the monster. I know what I have to do. I have to now call upon planning. Planning may mean nothing more than sitting down with a spreadsheet, or it may mean having a conversation with your accountant, or it may mean getting a financial advisor. It may mean sitting down and budgeting. But it's creating a plan so you're in control of where you're going. The four heroes operate by linking with your RAS. So remember what I told you. If right now I say, find something green, you will look around until you find something green. Do it now. Find something green. And if I ask you to close your eyes, unless you're in a place that you're very familiar with, if I ask you to tell me three things that are yellow, you might have a hard time with it because your RAS was focused on green. So the heroes connect with your RAS. When you call upon a hero, when you actually summon that hero, when you go, I need to focus, I need to develop clarity, and there's going to be a battle. You're going to go, I need to develop clarity. Phil's asking me to decide where I want to go, what I want. This is exciting to me. I'm going to get what I want, but I've got to figure out what I want. And procrastination shows up and goes, figure it out tomorrow. And distraction shows up and goes, no, there's a great football game on TV. And money worry goes, but you know, you really have to save because you're never going to be able to pay your bills. And negative talk goes, why waste your time? You're a loser anyway. You've got to call upon the heroes. Your RAS has to be drawn to the heroes because it's drifting, it's wandering. You have to say, I need clarity. And suddenly you're focused, which is a hero, on clarity, which is a hero. And now you can plan, and now you can be disciplined. So you've got to first do this with effort. You've got to find the heroes with effort. They're not as accessible as the monsters. The monsters are right there. They're right under your feet. The heroes have to travel a ways. But the more you call upon them, the closer they stay. And if you really create the visuals, I'm promising you, your brain receives that. Your brain receives clarity's here. Bye, monsters. Seems silly? Yeah, maybe that's a part of where we screw up, is we learn that things have to be complex to be effective. Our brains are complex, but they respond to pretty simplistic things if we allow them to. I want you to, moving forward, catch the monsters when they show up. That's it. Just catch them. Just know they're there. And if you're willing, try calling upon a hero. And see if you can defeat the monster, at least in that moment. And if you do this over time, let's just see what happens to the rate with which you achieve what you want to achieve. And as we move away from money worry, and as we move away from negative talk, we need to develop a mindset of abundance. Not a mindset of lack. We've got to get rid of the word but. I'd like to be able to donate, but. I'd love to be able to take a vacation, but. We've got to get rid of that word but. If we take away the but and we just stay with the first half of the sentence, we're okay. I'd love to take a vacation. Now, if you let money worry in, he's going to go, you can't afford it. How will you ever afford that vacation? Woe is me, woe is me. Don't have enough, don't have enough. When you connect with the heroes, you can live with a mindset of abundance. And abundance means it's there for you. Whatever it is, it's there for you. You can find all these reasons why other people have advantages and you don't. That's negative talk monster. All of the things that limit you are one of those six. A weak EEM, I'm sorry, a strong EEM, a weak PFC, or the four monsters. That's it. Those are the only things that can limit you. So now you know what they are. There's no reason to be limited at all, ever. Now, you as a group are giving and altruistic. We know that. And people like you are typically conditioned to find comfort in asking for things. Nah, I got it. I'll do it. Yes, we do. Just don't worry about it. You guys go home. I'll cover it. I'll handle it. Because we don't like to ask. We don't like to take. We like to give. But it is vital. In order for an altruistic health practitioner to find prosperity, to achieve a true sense of balance, integrating gratitude with reward, giving with receiving, you deserve to achieve your dreams. If you don't know what your dreams are, you've got to figure it out because they're in your heart. I'm going to help you achieve them. You're going to do it. I'm just going to help you. But a part of it is let's get the obstacles out of the way. Let's get rid of those monsters. And let's allow you to develop a mindset that knows that you can get there. And a part of that mindset has to be, it's okay to ask. Prosperity is a really good word. But somebody living in true prosperity and true abundance, if they're going to feel fulfilled, it's not only about reward, it's about gratitude balanced with reward. It's about giving balanced with receiving. If you make more money, how many more people can you help? That's a really good question. If you help more people, how much more money can you make? It's a really good question. So you got both ends covered. You're helping people and you're finding reward. I know this isn't natural for your thought process, but it can become that way. It can become that way. It is the mindset that you need to create. You deserve to achieve your dreams every bit as much as your patients deserve to get the health restoration they're looking for, right? Why is it that they all deserve improvement, but you don't? And I know your rational mind goes, I do, but your emotional mind may not agree. And I want you to get them aligned. I want you to start to realize there's something beautiful about getting the things you want. Being rewarded for what you deserve, remember the word deserve means to be of service. Being rewarded for being of service, what greater blessing is there than that? So if you do not have a combination of a sense of sharing combined with a sense of abundance, you will never feel prosperous. The reverse of that is nice. You can have both and have absolute prosperity. Any thoughts? So somebody just tell me, am I kind of hitting a chord with you? Is this resonating with you? Am I speaking to a part of you that you might not have been in touch with? Or is this just so far out of left field that it doesn't affect you at all? Give me some feedback.
Hey, Phil, this is Rick. No, I actually, this stuff is great because I can see and in different situations, in just different circumstances where, you know, one monster takes, you know, priority over another, and even where, you know, successes have been, you know, in my life, I can see where the heroes have, you know, come together in different aspects and different situations. So that, but I really like how, you know, it all just kind of, you know, you kind of put it in a nice little box and kind of bring it together to really help kind of just, you know, focus on the thoughts with this.
Good. Thank you for that, Rick. Somebody other than Rick, any thoughts on anything I spoke about, especially related to giving and receiving rather than just being a giver?
Hey, Phil, this is Heath.
Hey, Heath.
As you went over this, I mean, I could argue that most people suffer from all three of these: procrastination, destruction, and negative talk. And it seems to me that throughout my own life, when there's been structure, when there's been deadlines, a degree of accountability, it brings focus, clarity, and planning more into the forefront of your mind.
Okay. So you've been victimized by the monsters at times that you weren't as structured as you should be, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, at least for myself, and I think for most people.
How does this concept of reward sound to you, of you being well compensated, of you achieving true prosperity, of you achieving abundance, living in abundance? How does that sound?
I'm completely comfortable with that.
How does it feel to know that you can live in that state only if you make people's lives better?
I'm fine with that as well.
Does that sound limiting, or does it sound sort of freeing?
It sounds freeing. It sounds like it's actually the reverse of limiting. I mean,
because you know you have the power to make people's lives better, right?
Correct.
And if you have the power and you don't share it, then I'm going to tell you this: you don't deserve anything. That's not my judgment, but remember, the word deserve means to be of service. So if you have the power and you don't share it, then you're not being of any service. And this is why what I'm telling you is a limitation is your unwillingness to talk to people. Call it a fear, call it a restriction, call it a limitation, call it shyness, call it what you will. If you recognize what I'm saying, that there is no limit to the prosperity you can achieve and the abundance you can live in, if only you help more people. And if you realize that you have the power to help more people, this is a part of what separates you from the rest of the field. They're hoping their marketing brings people in. They're hoping insurance sends more people their way. They're hoping people have car accidents and don't die because they want them to come for treatments. That's not you.
Right.
So this is a vital point that all I want all of you to internalize. Not only is it okay, it is what you must do, is find that balance between giving to others and finding reward. So I'm going to ask you right now to think about two things, and we're going to do them one at a time. And one is, I'm going to call it right now a micro goal. We're not going to use the term goal or the word goal down the road. We're going to change it to outcome, and a micro goal will become a milestone. But for now, without me going into long explanations of why, why don't you create a micro goal? Something that is a want. It's not a major want. It's not going to change your life radically. Something you want that you don't have now. And I want you to really set this as a little goal for yourself. And I want you to make it measurable, quantifiable. So when the moment comes that you obtain it or achieve it, you can say, I did it. I achieved my goal. So if we think of this process, if we change the vision of the clock, when I said the life cycle of business, you think of the 5 as a 12, let's change that to north. Let's make it a compass. So if right now your compass needle is pointing somewhere else and you want to get it to north, and we think about finding that balance between giving and receiving and achieving what you really want, as your compass taking you to true north, then your micro goal is a little nudge of the needle. If right now it's pointing towards southeast, it's a little bit of a nudge. It's not bringing you all the way. just a little bit of a nudge where you can go, you know what, I set this goal and I achieved it. Even if you're not yet clear on the big picture outcome of what you want, by selecting a micro goal, a tiny little goal that is measurable and somewhat compelling, you have selected a point that proves to be a milestone along the course to your dreams. Now, micro goals are minimally compelling. I received an email from somebody who was a previous participant in Be Better. And she just wrote to thank me, and I haven't spoken to her in years, but she told me that she achieved something. She wanted to take her family sailing around and through Alaska, and she did it. That's a compelling goal. That's not a little goal. That's not a micro goal, because she didn't even have a sailboat. So she had a lot that she had to figure out how. But at this, in this stage in the program was when she was sort of creating the micro goals. And her micro goal was to have a full day that she could take off free of work and go somewhere that felt like an adventure with her family. That was a micro goal. So it was minimally compelling. It wasn't as compelling as let's get a sailboat and sail around Alaska for a summer. But it was minimally compelling. So I want you to come up with something that's minimally compelling. Ideally, it should tie to your work. It doesn't have to be specific. It doesn't have to be a number of patients or a person you will attract or a corporation you will do a presentation for, although it can be. But it should somehow be attached to your work. We have to do certain things through your course of work to achieve this little goal. Now, because the micro goal is minimally compelling rather than majorly compelling, the micro goal may at times be taken for granted. And simple intervention by the monsters can give you a list of reasons why the goal wasn't important anyway. So understand what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to pick a minimally compelling goal. It's not going to change your life. It's a step. You're walking across the room. It's the first foot in front of the other. Just a little something. But I want you to realize the danger is, because it is not maximally compelling, you can tend to just go, yeah, sure, that'll happen. And when you do that, the monsters just rule. They'll convince you that the stupid goal was in fact stupid, just not important. So if you're going to achieve the micro goal, you must identify the monsters, keep them away, and to reinforce the heroes, looking past the goal at something larger, something more compelling. You're starting to bring the heroes in for a little goal so you can ultimately align them toward the big one that you haven't developed full clarity yet. So can you take a moment right now and write down a sentence or two, not more than two, spelling out the micro goal? It can even be a word if it's just a word, but something brief just so you write it down. And don't think too hard. There's got to be something you want, something little, something real, something tangible, something that can happen in a week, in a month, but something that you know can happen but hasn't happened yet, something that you'd like to own that you don't own, something that you'd like to achieve that you haven't achieved, just something. And just say, got it, when you got it.
Got it.
Got it.
Got it.
Okay, of the got it, who's willing to share? What do you got? And is it contagious?
I think so. I want to get my desk cleaned off for the new year.
Say it again?
I want to get my desk and paperwork finished before the end of the year.
Your desk and paperwork finished? What does that mean? Be real specific. What does that mean, your paperwork finished?
I got clutter all around my desk. I got things I got to do. I just got to get it done.
Yeah. Okay. What would be different? And I know I said it's not going to change your life, but what would be different if your desk was free of clutter?
That would mean that I wasn't procrastinating and getting distracted at work anymore.
Okay. If that's the goal you hold on to by the end of this call, I'm not going to change it on you. But I want you to know, in my mind, that's more of a to-do. not a goal. It's a to-do. It's a dynamic equilibrium. It's like doing the laundry, right? You do the laundry, all my clothes are clean. But sure enough, next week, you're going to have to do laundry again. So, you know, cleaning your desk is a to-do. But I'm looking for something that really does at some level become a milestone, because when your desk is clean, it'll give you that momentary, whew, but did it move you closer to an outcome? I'm looking for something that moves you closer to an outcome. Okay, so you can keep it if you want to, but I'm giving you my perspective, and you're free to change it. Who else has one that you want to share?
I have one.
Okay, go ahead.
I just bought the Infusionsoft software, mm-hmm. and so my goal is to have 2 of the Getting Started modules done by Monday, and I have a free ebook that I give away now for prospects that needs to be rewritten. So by Monday, I'm going to have the 2 pods done and the Infusionsoft and my ebook rewritten.
What will that do for you?
It will make me, when I'm learning social media marketing, so it will set up the foundation on doing the social media marketing a lot easier down the road, to where I don't have to pretty much set it and forget it type thing.
Okay, what will that do when you're better at social media marketing and you can set it and forget it? What will that do?
Bring me in clients.
So you believe that this 2 modules of Infusionsoft plus your ebook is a step toward bringing you in clients?
Yes, I do.
Okay. If in fact you believe that, then that is a perfect micro goal, as long as it is a step on the way to an outcome. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, very good. Let me get one more. Come on, I heard at least 8 got it. There are 16 people on the call. I heard from 2. You read my emails about the criers and the peepers?
So I had put, I want to be able to take my wife on a little weekend vacation down towards Austin, Texas.
Okay. What will that do?
Allow a lot of that worry to go away. Right now,
why?
The weekends are basically spent. Well, because right now the weekends are basically just spent worrying about everything, worrying about the office, money, everything else. So to be able to take her on that little vacation down through Hill Country and that in Texas, unwind, relax. We can both kind of just enjoy each other instead of allowing the business to be tied to who we are. Also,
how would that make her feel?
She would be ecstatic.
And how would that make you feel, knowing that you were able to make her feel ecstatic?
It would bring a lot of peace to me, absolutely.
So is there any reason that you will not achieve this little goal?
No, not at all. Just keep calling on all the heroes, because I know there's a lot of monsters that keep coming up.
That's exactly right. So the only things that will prevent you, a over-restrictive EEM, a weak PFC, distraction, procrastination, money worry, negative talk, if you can manage those things, you're going to be going on a very nice vacation, making your wife very happy and ultimately making yourself happy. So there's an example, give and receive, right?
Absolutely.
Very good. Can I get one more? I know I'm pulling deep. I'm reaching into the watcher territory, trying to get you to peep. Can I get a peep? I know there's one. Come on. If you set down on paper something that you'd like, and you believe at any level that I may have a little bit of insight or input that can move you there, why would you not share it?
Hey, Phil, this is Rick. My basic goal is, like, and as I was stating previously, I'm going through a major transition situation, and part of this transition right now is to maintain finances. I need to maintain and build up my chiropractic practice. So my FM practice is kind of on hold right now. So, but that is where my strong passion and desire is, that, you know, I really love working with people in the FM atmosphere. And
so what's the micro goal?
So the micro goal is basically to, within the next 2 weeks, have another brand new FM patient coming in without doing any marketing, you know, external marketing. But what I mean by that is more just putting out the energetic and by as you're
too talking. Much. I want the micro goal. One patient in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, one FM patient come in the next 2 weeks.
Is it going to happen?
Yes.
What might prevent it from happening?
My lack of focus.
Hmm. So now that you have the tools, there's no reason it shouldn't happen, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you achieve this and you have one new FM patient that comes in just because they came in, what does that say to you about the future beyond that moment?
It says to me, because one of the biggest problems I've had with FM is the advertising aspect and the financial aspect, not from my perspective, but people being able to afford the program because it's a cash program. But having somebody come in via the way I'm looking to do it will be that, you know, my focus, the law of attraction, will bring them to me.
The law of attraction is nice as long as you put yourself out there. Are you willing to talk to five people a day?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Then consider it done. It's simply the outcome that hasn't happened yet but is going to. So now I want to take it beyond this micro goal, because somebody in the email discussion board used the word realistic, and you never heard me ask you to be realistic. I'm not asking you to be unrealistic, but who am I to tell you what's realistic? I mean, people have told me things that they were going to do that honestly I didn't believe, but sometimes they surprise me. So was it realistic? Well, sure, they did it. So if you're going to grow beyond anything that you previously believed to be realistic, you have to align your RAS not only with a micro goal, but with something bigger. And we're going to call it dreams. Dreams. Speaking of dreams, I dreamed last night that Dr. Pompa told me he got a new dog, and when I saw it, it was a cat, and I didn't have the heart to tell him. I don't know what that has to do with anything. I just remembered my dream from last night. So dreams are not necessarily that, but dreams are what is in your heart that you, it's in a sense your soul purpose. It's what, if you allow your brain to open up to it, your mind wants to bring you. But we're shut down. I mean, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a superhero. I wanted to be a superhero. When you grow up, you find it less likely. But you know what? You think about it and you go, what do superheroes do? Well, they change people's lives for the better. That's what I want to do. But most people tend to lose the dreams. Rather than reshaping them, they lose the dreams. They're told not to dream. They're told to do things that are realistic. They're told to get something to fall back on in case it doesn't work. They allow the monsters to come in and negative talk takes over. I'm asking you to reconnect with that ability to dream. And the term dream equates for most people with fantasy. I want you to think of it now as something that you're going to pull out of your heart and mind and connect to your RAS, as if your RAS is your internal GPS system and the dream is the destination. The dream should be so compelling, unlike the micro goal, it should be so compelling that it keeps the monsters away. It should be so compelling that the heroes literally swarm to help you. When you link your dream with belief, when we take it out of the realm of fantasy and we link it to belief, it becomes an outcome. This is really important for breaking through limitations. If there's any part of you that is questioning whether you're capable of this, shut it down. It is a monster. What I'm asking you to do is reconnect with that willingness to say, here's what I really want. And then lock your GPS, your reticular activating system, lock it in. Because you want your brain to believe it's going to happen. When you connect a dream with belief, it becomes an outcome. I told you earlier I don't like the word goal, because goal suggests a hope that may or may not come to fruition. So when I said set up a micro goal, that's exactly what I was saying. You know, set up something that you hope is going to come to be. But as I told you before, when we look at any sporting events, there are two teams or two competitors, and they both have the same goal, to win, and one doesn't. So this is bigger than goal. Dream plus belief equals outcome. By linking dreams with outcomes, we create a sense of certainty. The process of turning a dream into a sense of certainty requires heroes, requires that we crystallize it, we attach it to our deep-lying emotions. We link it with the emotion we know as belief, and we tune our RAS on a vision and a voice and a feeling so intense it feels real. So let me ask this collectively, and I really want you to answer me. Are you willing to dream? Give me a yes or a no.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Is there anybody who's not? Is there anybody who's kind of afraid of this, or it sounds silly, or I've done this kind of stuff before and it didn't work? Anybody? Because if you're resistant, let's really get it out there. Let's talk about it. Because if you're really ready and you're willing to do what I tell you, I'm going to promise you, you're all going to create compelling outcomes that will happen. I'm not just making this up. This is really what will happen. This is why I created this program, to bring people the outcomes they want. So what you need to do is turn the dream into certainty. And we do that through an evolution. So step one, you have to develop clarity as to where you're headed, as to where that compass needle points. You've got to develop clarity, which is one of the heroes, as to where that compass needle points. What is your true north? In the first few calls, I told you I wasn't going to ask you to get crystal clear. Now it's time. Now it's time to get crystal clear. You're identifying some moving parts of your mindset. Now I want you to really get clear on the dream. Develop clarity as to where that compass needle points when it's pointing to true north. And when you look at that, you've got to be able to articulate, to speak out loud, one difference that you will see in your business and your life 90 days from now. Specific, measurable. If you're pointing the compass needle to true north and you start to move along that line, give me one difference that you will see in your life and your business 90 days from now. That's step one. Step two, you've got to be able to express the dream, what we'll call the big picture, not just the goal, but the big picture, in a few sentences. And in the context of the dream, you should be able to express how the committed micro goal fits into the outcome. Ultimately, I want to have four practices. I would like to have a total of 200 active functional medicine patients all going through. I'd like to have a staff of 16 people, and I'd like to only work 3 days a week and spend every weekend with my family, every other week going on a vacation. In order to get there, my micro goal of having one is a step toward it, because before I get to 200, I got to start with one. So you've got to be able to express how the micro goal that you're setting now fits into the big picture. Okay, so step one, develop clarity and be able to articulate one difference. Number two, be able to express the dream in a few sentences. And in the context of that, express how the committed micro goal fits into the outcome. Step three, crystallize the next step in your business condition. If you're looking at your chaos and you want to move toward organization, crystallize what organization looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, what it smells like. Crystallize, crystal clear. Crystallize the next step in your business condition and explain what it will take to get there. Once these actions are complete, those three steps, a sense of clarity will develop. And with that clarity, you'll develop a crystal clear tie-in between the course of business growth and an enhanced sense of prosperity. And from that point forward, it becomes simple to program the RAS to make dreams come true. So now it's up to you. I can give you the information, I can give you the tools, but now it's up to you. Now it's up to you to call upon focus and clarity and planning and discipline. And go through those steps. Develop clarity as to where you're headed. Be able to express the dream in a few sentences. And then crystallize the next step in your business condition. Any thoughts, comments, questions?
Yeah, Phil, I have a question about the crystallizing part. So would that be more like another micro goal that you're setting to get you to that next step? Is that what you're...
The micro goal is just sort of a, not that important, but it'll show I'm on my way. Crystallizing is what will your business be when it moves out of the limitations it has now? So as an example, I started off talking about chaos and how you can progress toward organization. So what I'm asking you is to crystallize what organization looks like. What will happen? What are the tangibles and the intangibles that will exist when you're in organization? So it's not a micro goal. It's crystallizing what how your business will function when it progresses forward. Does that help? Still unsure?
Yeah. Yes.
It helps or yeah, you're still unsure?
Yes, it helps.
Okay, good. All right, so that's what you got to do. You got to follow those steps. And I want you to do a few more things as well, because these should now fit into the course of just what you do. I want you to begin to build a new database of people you meet beginning today. Just start a new database, even if you have one and even if you have a very complex management system for that database. Starting today, build a new database. If you can get 5 people a day in, great. You're going to wind up with 1,200 strong prospects by the end of the year. That's a good number. If you can't get to 5, get to 3. But I'm going to keep coming back to this until you force it, because only then will you see the power of it. And I really know you hate it, and especially in this day and age when we can just reach people by sending an email. But we're losing the most opportune event in terms of building your business, and that is human contact, face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, voice-to-voice human contact. And that's why I'm pushing this hard. It seems alien to you, because our society has moved away from it. There's nothing more powerful that you can do. So begin to build a new database of people you meet, and at this point, try for 5 a day. I would also ask you to consider that in order to be interdependent, you will have to rely on at least some other people. Nobody who's achieved greatness that I ever met did it alone. Sometimes there's this illusion they did it alone, but never, never. So consider that. In order to be interdependent, you have to have independent people or entities that you're interdependent with. So consider that in order to get to that state, you'll have to rely on at least some other people. I believe, and this is without knowing you personally, without stepping into your life, so based on what I know now, I believe it's vitally important for every one of you to have a go-to, an apprentice, a somebody, an assistant, a somebody who understands you, who works for you. Some of you have that now. Some of you don't. I think all of you should. Doesn't mean immediately. I'm not asking you to hire right now. I'm just asking you to consider what I'm saying. You will, in order to be interdependent, have to rely on at least some other people. So you should think in terms of you finding your go-to person or perhaps an apprentice. And I've asked you to start formulating your list of 10 things that you would have to teach your apprentice. And that's an interesting exercise. And we're not going to spend time on it now, but I will tell you that based on the list you created, and if you didn't create it, please do it. But based on the list you created, you're either very unclear as to what you are and what you want to be. So when you look at that list, if there are generalizations or things that will really amount to nothing tangible, it means you have not developed clarity. Not a horrible place to be. It's opportune. Now you can create clarity. But if you look at your list and you're going, oh, no, that's not important. Well, yeah, that's what I do, but that's not what I should be doing. If you're looking at that list and you're going, you just created 10 things, but it just seems chaotic, then realize that you're in that place where you're unclear as to what you are and what you want to be. Or you can look at your list and you can realize that you aren't that clear, but you are tied and bound because you're the only one. In other words, all the things that you put on that list, you go, yep, that's true. Yes, I need that. Yes, but I'm the only one who can do it. So you're limited. Or you are ready to create your ideal apprentice. So you're in one of those three places. Unclear as to what you are and what you want to be. That means it's time to develop some clarity. You are clear, but you're sort of locked and tied because you're the only one, or you are ready to create your ideal apprentice. So by our next call, get clear on what you'd have to teach an apprentice and start to open your eyes and see if you can create that person. I'm not saying find them, but who should that person be? Create them in your mind first, but get some clarity. Clarity is a big word on this call because it's what will precede everything you achieve. The clearer you get, the more clear you get in terms of what you want, the more likely you are to achieve it. So get clear on what you'd have to teach an apprentice and think in terms of finding that person. Maybe that person's in your life right now. I also want you to refine your ideal calendar. And while I don't want you to do anything major, I don't want you to change anything yet, I want you to come up with one change you can make that would move you one step closer. So if you've really created your ideal calendar, look at that and go, what is the one thing I can do this week, just one thing, that is not going to change my whole life, but will move me closer to living this as an ideal? And that's all you're getting today. So I've given you a lot. I've taught you about the monsters who live under your feet. I've introduced you to the heroes who can rescue you. But most of all, I'm urging you to get clarity. Because a short time from now, we're going to start moving forward. And you're going to need to create that line. What is the line you're going to move along? What is the destination? What is the outcome? You need to get clear. I can't tell you what that is. I can tell you many things. I can't tell you what's in your heart. And if this is hard, you guys hung in with me this long, keep going. Because you got to come out the other side. I actually pulled up an excerpt from that email. I told you I woke up this morning to an email from Carla, who was a Be Better participant. She was a very accomplished fitness professional. She was hitting burnout when she first contacted me. And she had a vision of getting a sailboat and sailing through Alaska in the summer. So after fulfilling her dream with her family, she's now returning to work with a new studio beginning January 1st. She sold her studio, bought a sailboat, fulfilled her dream. She sent me a very long email, but I'm going to just read you an excerpt from it. So I went back and read through all of the Be Better materials, and it's a little intimidating. She's referring to starting a studio again from scratch. It's a little intimidating. I know I can do it. I did it before. And I know I can do it even better. It's just that I've been away from normal society for a while and didn't have to intentionally meet people. I was stressing over the five a day, recognizing the monsters when they showed up, and then I read two of your blog posts that you wrote from an airport. It was all I needed to get over my ridiculous apprehension. Yesterday I decided I would talk to five people and I wouldn't go home until I had at least five email addresses. I came home with 14 and most of them with phone numbers. Be Better has given me such freedom, but more importantly, it's given me your voice permanently in my head telling me I can do it. Now, I don't wish my voice in your head. Believe me, I'm not wishing that on anybody. But I wanted to share that because here's somebody who went through it. Talked to five people a day, did everything we discussed and Be Better, got clear on something that was nothing realistic, sailing around Africa, around Alaska when she didn't even have a sailboat. How unrealistic is that? And she did it. But what's interesting is, even after all of that, she comes back to being intimidated by the concept of five a day. But she said she read some blog posts where I spoke to people at an airport and it kind of reminded her that she can do it. Now, I would love to link you to that blog. I just don't know which article it was. So if I find it, I'll send you guys the link. But I want you to understand, everybody who I share this with is in that state initially where they find reasons why they can't do five a day. I'm too busy. I can't leave my office. Nobody lives in my community. Nobody wants to talk. Everybody has their headphones. Those are all excuses. Those are monsters. That's negative talk. Shut them down. Call upon the heroes. Complete the directives. Anybody want to share a final thought? I was about to say be better and hang up, and I just thought maybe somebody has one final thought they'd like to share for the day with the group.
Don't think so.
That was I don't think so?
That okay, I don't think so.
I would challenge somebody to prove her wrong.
Hey, Phil, this is Bob for Tina.
Hey, Bob. What's going
hey,
on?
Hey, how are you? Doing good.
Good.
Hey, I do have a final thought talking about the five people a day. That's been one of my I've really been focusing in on that over the last however many weeks we've been doing this. And for some reason, it just wasn't clicking and just things weren't working. I just couldn't figure out why, you know, do I not hang out at the right places, so on and so forth. And then I realized that my parents are very embarrassing. And what I mean by that is my dad, love him to death, but he has this way of kind of flirting like an old man with everybody he talks to.
Yeah.
And I remember that when I was 10 or 11 years old.
You said, I never want to be that.
Yeah, and I would never be that, and I would always say something that was worth it.
Right.
And as soon as I realized that it was a negative talk in my head, saying that I don't want this person to roll their eyes at me and wish that I would stop talking, that I realized, no, it's not that big of a deal. And so the last week, the 10 days, I've initiated more conversations than I have in the last 6 months, and it's been very, very freeing, and I don't know, that was a good breakthrough for me, I guess, over the last week.
Good. And by the way, everyone can do that. All you have to do is find it in you to get past that barrier, right? And I want to ask you this, Bob. Did you flirt like an old man?
Yeah, no, definitely not.
No. So that deep lying fear wasn't even a rational one, right?
No, correct.
But it's very cool that you identified it and it angered you enough for you to go, I'm not going to be limited by that. And you brought about the change. So great things will happen for all of you. I look forward to our next call. Thank you for sharing that, Bob. It's a good way to wrap it up. Until we speak again, be better, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.